How are we doing now? Hello? Am I there? Am I on? I can't hear myself. Can you hear me? Joey can't hear me, Eric. He's deaf. That better? Can you hear me now? So I don't have anything on Presbyterian because I didn't go. What I did have is, and we're not going to do it today because it's a 24-minute video. So this is a tease, and I have something else I want to do. I'm just going to read this. So this is something sent to us from our denomination, and it's the OPC Disaster Response Group or Team or Committee. I'm not sure what it's called, ministry. There's a special report that came out from the Disaster Response Ministry of the OPC. Who's familiar with the Disaster Response Ministry of the OPC? A couple of people, good. Probably not most of us. The OPC Disaster Response Coordinator is a guy named David Nakla. And David, he's one of the first people I met in the OPC. I went to church with him down in La Mirada when I first was introduced to the OPC. And he was the sister of one of Bethel's friends. He became a ruling elder down there, and then now he's taken on this position as the coordinator for this group. So he's a former ruling elder that's now in this new position. And what he's asked for, David has asked for every church in the OPC to take a Sunday school session and review this video that we're not going to see today. Lord willing, we'll see it next week. Review this video. And where it came from is when Hurricane Harvey hit. Anybody remember that? Where was it? Houston, good. We got it. Houston and Texas. Both are correct. Houston, Texas. So when Hurricane Harvey hit, there were three churches that were impacted in that area. And what became known was the OPC didn't have a good mechanism for coordinating resources. Lots of people wanted to help, but there was no central place. If you wanted to help, what do? You just drive there on your own, or you need somebody to coordinate this. And so what grew out of that was this concerted effort or organized effort. So if and when there is some sort of disaster like that, we're prepared to help. And so what David's job is finding out what resources do we have across the United States. We have churches all over across the U.S. that can help, and there's probably people in those churches that are willing to help. But his problem is, who are they, where are they, contact numbers, those kind of things. So what he's asked each church to do is to show this video. And it's a video of the impact that the OPC's disaster relief group had in the Houston area. And there's different interviews with folks that talk about that. And then it's a 24-minute video. That's not what we're going to watch it today because we don't have time. We'll run out of minutes. So three things that he would like done in particular. We watched this video, and then as you watch the video, these are questions we should ask ourselves, or he's asking us to ask ourselves. As you see the work of the disaster response team in this type of ministry, are you drawn to serve? So what he's looking for is, who's interested? Is there something in your conscience that said, I have abilities, God's blessed me with talents to help in this area, and I'd like to help. Are you interested in serving? So first thing he's looking for is that, people that are interested. What would it look like for our church to be directly involved in this ministry? And then third is, I thought there was three. There was only two. So then we're to watch the video and then talk about it, see what's in it. And then what he suggested is we have a discussion as a group here, as a church, about where we can fit. Jumping way ahead, what things can we do? I'm just going to ask. We haven't seen the video. There's a disaster somewhere in the United States. It's in Horses Breath, Montana. What can we do? But they're in Horses Breath, Montana. I have a job. I can't go there. I think you're right. You're going to number three. What's the first thing everyone in this church can do? Everyone can do it. Pray. Pray. And that's what they're asking. Pray, first of all. So if you're thinking all those thoughts, excuses are coming up, you can at least pray for this ministry. Pray for the folks that are affected by the disaster. Pray for the people that are able and willing to help. And then, so that's one. Two is we can give. There's money that's needed, even if it's just for water or different things like that, supplies, airfare. Somebody has the abilities to go and willingness to go, but they lack the funds. They need a plane ticket. Could our church all kick in a little bit and buy a plane ticket for somebody that can't. I can't. Oh, I don't have any skills, but we can give. And why are you laughing, Krista? Krista laughed when I said I don't have any skills. And then third, to Olivia's point, we can go and serve. You can go rip out drywall. You can go help. You can do whatever's needed. They need people with all types of skills, carpentry, administrative skills, logistics, coordination, just people that can lift things and can drive places. And if you've ever been involved in any of that, there's so much that's needed to do that any talent, a great coordinator by like David, who he is, solid, solid guy, can use anybody's talent and can go there. What he's recognizing is not everybody can go there to serve. So he's asking, first of all, to pray, and then second of all, to give. And then third, if you have the ability and can get to wherever it is, then are you willing to do that? Next step, so we'll talk about this again in the future. We'll watch the video and then have a discussion about it. And then the next step is to get whoever is interested and willing to do that to get a list together of those folks that we can send to David. And David will have this list of people that have interest and willingness to do it. That way, if and when something happens, he has a contact list right away. He knows who the people are. In my mind, I think of first responders. He has this list of first responders. And this person, Chris, says she can, and she's good at drywall ripping out. The thing happens. David calls Krista and says, Krista, there's a disaster in, you know, ABC, Iowa. Can you come and rip out drywall with us and help? And then she says yes or no, and then he moves on. So what he's looking to do is, like I said, find out what the interest level is and then collect this group of contacts that he has to make it simpler for him when the time comes to execute. Because if you think about how much is on his plate when this is going on in the middle of a disaster, because he's got inputs coming from the folks that are affected, who needs help, what kind of help, and then he's trying to marshal resources on the other side. So big job that David has. And he's asking for help. So, Lord willing, in the weeks coming, we will watch the video in Sunday school, and then we'll have a discussion about it, and then we'll put together a list of our own. Any questions on disaster relief? Mr. Coetzer.
I may be getting ahead of myself here, but in a big disaster like Harvey, the formal government response mechanisms kick in. And so is the intent for this group or this gentleman to interface with them or set up something different?
Great question. So David's role in the church isn't just as this disaster relief person. He's the head of the diaconate. Okay. He's got a larger role. This is one of his roles. So his role, I'm going to put it how I look at it, he's the deacon for the whole denomination. So any diaconal stuff that's widespread beyond, you know, we have deacon in the church and then in the presbytery and it works like that. So he's the big dog deacon. And so what his role or what his desire is not to augment the government assistance in the FEMA and get involved in that. It's really to specifically work with that church and that community. Spoiler alert, the video shows several different groups in there. One group is an OPC church member family who was affected, and they talk about how they got help. The next group is a unchurched family in the community, just someone local that needed help, and they happened to be there. And the group was willing to help them out with diaconal assistance. And then there's another family that's, I'm trying to think of the word they used in the video, former church, lackluster church attenders, I guess I'd say. I forgot. They used a better word than that. But it was people that were going but weren't really committed. And it's that group. And then there was one other unchurched, solid, noncommittal. There's one other. So what the goal of this group is to do is to assess the needs in that local community and that church and then help. And so likely what happens is David shows up, let's say it's this church, and there's some issue here, and he's interacting with this church and saying, what do you guys need? We're good, we have everything, but there's a family down the street from the Valdezes that's in a bad way, and this is what happened. And then he's going to vet it just like any deacon would, find out where we can fit. So it's really a a response that the church, our denomination, can have on its own. What the purpose is, and you'll see this in the video, is outreach. This is probably, I'm opinionizing, the most powerful outreach that you can have. Outreaching to someone that's cruising through life and having a good time and they don't have that many problems is tough. You know, we're all like this. We don't really learn how to pray until we're having a tough time. And then we find out what praying really is, right, when we're going through something tough. Same thing. If someone is going through something devastating, lost their home, lost a family member, lost a pet, whatever it is that affected them, and you show up and help, the preaching that you're doing through your life is powerful. It's convicting. It's helpful. It opens their eyes to the love of Christ. And so this is an opportunity to show we are Christians. How do we show our Christians? By our love, right? The Bible tells us that. So it's just loving them. The first purpose isn't, hey, get them into church, and we'll help you fix your house if you come to church. It's, hey, we're going to help you fix your house. And we hope that the Holy Spirit works in their heart and says, hey, those people are different. They don't even know me, and they help me. Why would you do that? Well, let me tell you why I would help you. Because my scripture tells me, and then you're ministering and witnessing to them in that moment. So that's really the underpinnings of it. This is an outreach effort that can be powerful, and using a disaster or a negative thing in someone's life to bring someone to Christ. There's lots of accounts that people tell about how they came to Christ, and many of them have some dramatic, you know, negative experience that somebody was going through that drove them to the foot of the cross, this bad thing. Other questions or comments? Agreed. Overwhelming, yeah.
That's what it was for the Boston.
Yeah.
It was just amazing how much they had to bring back. So FEMA came in, they gave everybody those little portable houses, and then they left. And they still wanted to build their house up, and they get ripped off by the insurance company.
Yep.
They buy false contractors, or people didn't know what they're doing. And so basically we went in, they tried to fill the gas with their very simply one-on-one, one family. Mm-hmm.
Great point. Well, whose job is it to help those in need? The governments or the churches? Churches. Louder. It's the church's job. It's not the government's job. We've chosen to do that, and sometimes it's helpful, but if you really think about it, the diaconal, that's diaconal needs, it's the church's responsibility to do this. So to me, this is us doing our job, really, and we're not going to help everybody, because like Olivia said, it's overwhelming. But if we can help that one person, if we can save one person, save one home. I almost did a Calum commercial right there. If we can just help in that one little way, that's a potential powerful witness. And think about the impact that has on that individual family. Put yourself in that position. If you were in a spot where you lost your home or something valuable to you, and this group came and helped you and didn't want anything in return and didn't make you fill out forms in triplicate and didn't rip you off and wasn't asking for money, just was here to help. Joey.
The giving part's really great because sometimes in our fleshly minds, we always think, well, $10 ain't going to do no good. But, you know, when you start adding up and having a 20 here, a 5 here, a 10 here, it can add up to 2 days of water for some of them people. Mm-hmm. And that's really neat. And the biggest thing on something like that is to, I would say, we know that God's in control, and how we're going to do it in our church as far as putting up, I'm not saying a point system, but somebody say, wow, look at what we're giving. There's a showing there. Mm-hmm. And we need to be reminded that we can never give God enough money back. God paid the price, and you can't give God enough
I've heard it put, you can't outgive God.
No.
Yeah. All right. So, with the minutes we have left, last week or 2 weeks ago, did Rick show a video of the church in Czech Republic? No? He was going to try. He did. Okay, good. I would like to reciprocate. So I'm going to ask everybody to come forward and fill in these pews around this general area. We're going to reciprocate. And send it back to them? I never saw it. Kyle filmed us singing a hymn. That's what I got. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Because I'm going to video y'all. Y'all. I got to get good light here.